Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. SPIRIT was started several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, empty nesters, baby boomers, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everybody who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now, during the pandemic, even though probably most of us have been vaccinated, it's still the perfect way for all of us to engage safely in a virtual setting. Today, we have a very exciting program called Igniting Your Creative Genius. We're going to learn how to choose creative media, create life cycle heirlooms, and most importantly, be creative even without special skills. We are so honored to have this presentation made by Joy Glicker Lieber. Joy is the head designer and bridal consultant at Bridal Secrets and Nip and Tuck in Cedarhurst, New York. I am sure that many of your family have had bridal gowns that Joy has done. I know that I have. My daughter-in-law had a beautiful gown that Joy did. She is the creator of Perfect Matches, the interactive Jewish dating game sold in Judaica stores around the world. And I'm sure that if you ask any of your grandchildren, many of them have heard it, are probably using it while they're in the dating process. She's the artistic director of Step On It, Chuppah Glass Art, which is customized works of art from broken chuppah plates, chuppah glass, or Tanayan plates. It is such an honor and pleasure to turn the Spirit Forum over to Joy. I know that we're all going to be energized and get great ideas from today's program. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Take it away, Joy.
Hey, thanks, everybody. So nice to see some of you. This is very exciting. Thank you, Judy, for giving me this opportunity to inspire you and ignite your creative genius. Thanks to Faggy Horowitz for suggesting it to Judy, and on and on and on. So, welcome to my little world here. And I look at all of you as creative geniuses, and I am just going to light that spark. I am not a teacher. I am a perpetual student. The world is my palette, and I look at everything that I see every single day of my life as inspiration for something that will add to my legacy. It's so nice to go to someone's house and say, look at this, my great grandmother made it, and she passed it on from generation to generation. So, Emir Hashem, I hope that one day my great-great-grandchildren will say that. And we have, you know, in our DNA, we have the works of the Mishkan. So every single one of us is able to create something that will mean something in the world. I tell stories through the things that I make. And I'm sure every single person has a story to tell. So perhaps you'll find something that you will want to create or start, and someone else will finish it for you. We are going to start with the cycle of life, and we're going to end with the cycle of life. And I'm going to show you some of the things that I've made. They will actually be things that I will hold up close to the camera, so you'll be able to see them and take notes, you know, take photo shots, whatever you like. The first part that we're going to begin with is birth. And I'm going to start with the first thing that I made when I was quite young. I, Baruch Hashem, came from a family of girls. And I want to mention that I'm going to dedicate this presentation to my mother, Aleha Shalom, from a Bas Yosef Meir Halevi, whose yahrzeit was just on Sunday. And she had three girls. And then the three of us, Baruch Hashem, started having boys. So when the Brisim started, I said to my sister, most of you know her, Sandra Gottesman, I said, let's do something for the bris. Let's make a pillowcase, a family pillowcase. So Sandra bought a blue pillowcase. She bought white eyelet and she sewed it on to the pillowcase. And then she gave it to me. And this is our family Bris pillowcase. I'll hold it up. I'll turn it around. This is the front side. You can see. This is now, Baruch Hashem, the back side. And these are the generations of the boys that my parents produced. I did do it by hand. And it's, you know, the sides say, Kashem Shenechna Sabris. And then you have the boys' names and their dates of birth. We love it. We love to take pictures of it. I love to share it with people and inspire them to make their own. Yes, I do it by hand. Yes, I am trained as a calligrapher. However, you don't have to be. You can find an embroiderer. You can find all those girls who have machines in their houses and they personalize gifts. It's a big thing now. So you can make something like this. You can have it embroidered. You can personalize it and you can have something for your family legacy. So the kids ask me all the time, well, which one is this? There are so many multiple names on the pillowcase because many boys have been named after the same person. And there are lots, Baruch Hashem, of twins. And you can see the twin boys by their dates of birth. There's even a set of cousins that were born on the same day and they look like they're twins too. We always laugh about that. So I bought the Bris book. And I added pages to the back of the Bris book. And when I give the couple the Bris pillowcase a few days before the Bris so they can read through the book, I created a key. And I copied this and I printed it. Now I do it also by hand. And it has the name of the boy, his mother's name, his father's name, and his last name, which are not on the pillowcase. It's just his name and birth, date of birth. So this accompanies the Bris pillowcase in a bag and they send it back to me. They're all afraid to keep it because they're afraid something's going to happen to it and they'll lose it. And so I keep it. Then we have to have something for the girls. I believe in equal time for girls. So we have a sitter. This sitter, I went to the bookbinder and I added pages. And we have the names of the girls as they're born. We started with the three of us and my parents' names on top. And then we went to the next generation and Baruch Hashem, we've had many, many generations. And when the girls get married, I bring the sitter to the wedding or I send it ahead of time if it's out of the country. And the girls daven. They don't have to daven exclusively from that sitter, but they do daven from the sitter. And it's very, very meaningful to them. I have, by the way, an assistant here today to help me so they don't have to bend over the camera. And I have the lovely Shandalyn Tellis Shore, the famous singer and musician. And she always helps me with all my projects. So let's see now. We have something here, again, for somebody who doesn't have special skills. You can have that sitter in your family for boys or girls. And you don't have to have any special skills. You just have to put in their names. So this is something that I created. It's a genealogy report. This is my grandfather, Alva Shalom, who I never met. As a matter of fact, I'm named after him. He died in Europe in a pogrom. And I created a genealogy report. I just did it on Word, but there are a lot of genealogy websites now, ancestry.com and so forth and so on. And you just keep a record. We had a baby born this morning in the family and I'm gonna go put her name on. When we finish now, I'm not her name, sorry, she hasn't been named yet, but I'm going to record her birth on the genealogy report. It's a wonderful thing to keep. And this is my mother's family. You know who everyone is and how are they my second cousin? Are they my third cousin once removed? You can sort of see it on there. And of course, people make family trees. We did once make a family tree. It was a little bit of a problem though, because you had to keep opening it up every time somebody was born. But I'm sure people have great ideas about how to keep a family tree alive. Now, every year now, when it is my mother's yahrzeit, I ask everyone for photographs of the girls named Fruma. And I try to update it every year. Baruch Hashem, we have the frumas this year, the 2021 frumas, and we have their ages, and they love to get this, and everybody sees how they're growing, and I just want to bring my mother nachas, and I'm sure she's enjoying watching those beautiful girls grow. So let's see now, we did birth. Our next phase is bar and bat mitzvah. So when we started having boys in the family, I decided that it was time to learn how to make tefillin bags. And I've done needlepoint since I'm a teenager. We started out the year that I was in Israel in Bar Ilan. And some of you are out there, I see you, still my friends. And I made needlepoint that year, pictures which are still hanging on the wall. But I love to make needlepoints and other projects as gifts. And I want to emphasize that many of these projects I create as gifts for other people. There's nothing like giving to others. There's nothing like making people happy and giving them something of yourself, not just something you bought, but buying presents are wonderful. But if you make a little bit of something, and you'll see now as I go through the cycle of life, some of the things that I've gifted other people, and also it's a tremendous chesed. When someone receives something that you put effort and time and thought into, you just change their life. And there's nothing better than that. So even if you have something that you'd like to make because maybe you have extra time, maybe you are recuperating from an illness and you're sitting around the house. Maybe you were quarantined during COVID. We did this for JWoww and everybody was locked in their house with nothing to do. And they found something that inspired them that they could do at home. So you now have the world at your fingertips. There's YouTube and every website has instructional videos. And we don't have to leave our houses anymore. We order the materials online and everything comes to us. So rather than other than guiding your fingers, everything is there for you, just if you click on it. So back to the needlepoint fill-in bags. So everything I make is three-dimensional. That's just the way I am. I don't like to just do the stitches. I love the different, you know, kinds of stitches. But I also like to use three-dimensional yarn. And I started using them in pictures that I put on my walls. But then when I was doing the tefillin bags, I said, why not? It's going into a plastic bag anyway. Hopefully the boy is not playing with it, although I'm sure some of them do. And so the tefillin bags that I show you now are not the actual tefillin bags. Someone many years ago gave me a great tip. And the tip was that before you give them the tefillin bag, take it to the copier, take it to a professional. He puts it down on the machine and he can make a photograph that looks like it's the actual piece. And so then, because I worked on it for so many years or days or months or weeks, I don't want to part with it, but I have to give him his tefillin bag. So I have it copied and then I have it framed. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to get the good picture. I'll show you a few of them. This is for a young man named Daniel. So he wanted a lion. I always sit down with the boy before he's 12 and I ask him what he wants. And we decided on a lion. And I had the lion put onto the canvas. And then everything you see here is in reality three-dimensional. All the hair and the whiskers and the eyes, everything has beading and fur and so forth. But this is hanging on my wall. So that's one of them. I'll show you another one. Now this one is so interesting because I forgot to photograph it before I gave it to him. Kovi, give me back your tefillin bag. So he gave me back the tefillin bag and I took it to the copier. And this came out so funny because look, you can see the zipper of the case right on the tefillin bag. And this again is completely three-dimensional and it's something that he loves. He wanted this, he loved the theme. Now, this next one, I have quite a number of them on my wall. I didn't pull off everything, but this very next one is coming up. You know, when you're recuperating from whatever knee replacement, it's a good time to start getting busy. So his bar mitzvah is the day after Simchas Torah. It will be Emes Hashem Shabbos Bereishis. So I said, Simi, what do you want in your tefillin bag? He said, well, put Simchas Torah on my tefillin bag. So I sat down and I started sketching, and I had these boys dancing with Torahs. And then he said to me, Savta, do you think when I'm like 40, I'm going to want little boys on my tefillin bag dancing? I said, okay. They're going to become men. So I made sure they were men. And here they are. And they're dancing with the same Torahs, but they grew into men. And they're all different kinds of men. They have all different kinds of hats on. And they're dancing with the Torah. So Simi is all ready. And we experimented with his. And we can't wait. But the girls get equal time, right? So the girls get a sitter cover if they want it. No pressure. The first one that wanted one was Shani, my granddaughter Shani, Yehudis Shoshana. And I said, Shani, what would you like on your sitter cover? So I actually borrowed her sitter from her so that I could show it to you in reality, and then the picture. So I'm going to show you the picture first, actually. So this is the picture of Shani's sitter cover. It's the kotel with her name. The kotel is the front. And then this, of course, with her name is the back. And I'll hold it up close. And you can see it's very three-dimensional. You see the kvitlach. You see the grass growing out of the kotel. And there are stones and rocks in it. And here it is in reality. I will show you closer. Here's the front. Here is the back. And I'm going to show you the sides so that you can see how three-dimensional it is. And she uses it. She keeps it in a cover. She doesn't let too many people touch it. And now I'm making.
Joy, what, yeah. What is the cover? Is that needlepoint or?
Everything now is needlepoint. Thank Beautiful. You for asking. All of this is needlepoint. And either I sketch it myself. Of course, you can buy ready-made, you know, already colored in needlepoints in stores all over the world. Excuse me, Judaica stores and secular stores. They even sell Judaica. But you can personalize it for yourself. Feel free to change things, change colors, change textures. But sometimes I find a photograph that I like and I send it away to a company who puts the actual photograph onto the needlepoint. But if I don't find that, then I sketch it myself. So here's one that I couldn't find exactly what I wanted. This is for my granddaughter, Shira, from Ashira. She is going to graduate from Tag High School soon, Emes Hashem. And we sat down and I said, well, Shira, what do you want? So it was Parshas B'Shalach. She said, I want the Shira, of course. So I looked at dozens and dozens of pictures of Kriyas Yamsuf, and I didn't see exactly what I wanted. So I said, okay, we don't have any pictures of Kriyas Yamsuf, so I'll just figure it out myself. So here it's on the frame right now, and you see that I'm not finished. I'm gonna have a lot of pressure now. And what I did was I made it also all three-dimensional in every type of yarn I could think of. You have, this is all going to be in fur so that it looks like clouds in front of B'nai Yisrael. There they are. They all have their kafiyas in three dimension and the fire behind them, the walls standing up. And then one medrash says that the walls were rounded in the middle. And then I said, what should I make in the back? And on my seat, I daven in the white shul, and my seat is right above the bima. And I can watch them read from the Torah. And I, of course, noticed that the Shira is written this way. And I decided I am going to needlepoint a parchment, just like the actual Torah. And then I'm going to do as best as I can to print Az Yashir just the way it's printed in the Torah. I'm very excited about it. and so is she. And we'll see how it comes out. And then I purchased the sitter first, of course, and then I purchased it with her. And then you send the needlepoint with the sitter to the finisher, and he attaches it permanently, to the sitter. Okay, we're finished with Bar and Bat Mitzvah, and I'm sure the wheels of your minds are churning, and you're thinking of all kinds of projects. I want you to share them with me, don't forget. Well, after we went through already high school graduation, she's going to Israel next year, and then when she comes back, she'll pursue a career, she'll go to college, Miss Hashem, and then you know what happens. She will start dating a Miss Hashem. And this was something that took me 2.5 years. I sat down and I wrote on my hand, I wrote on little notes, I listened to everybody's conversations. I dress brides all day long, and I ask them questions when I'm dressing them. How long do you know each other? Where did you meet? Who introduced you? And so forth and so on. And so for 2.5 years, I said to myself and to my dating children and their friends, what do you talk about on dates? And I got the most bizarre answers. You know, we always hear those jokes about what color is your tablecloth and things like that. But people actually ask questions like that. And some people have nothing to talk about. I said, somebody has to change. And if nobody else is doing that, I will. So I came up with a board game. I don't know if some of you have heard of it or not. I called it Perfect Matches, the interactive Jewish dating game. This is a game that I take very, very seriously. Okay. It has two haskamas on the back from my dear Rav and Rebbetzin, Rabbi Eitan and Aviva Feiner, and my dearest friends, Rabbi David and Debbie Greenblatt. I'm going to show you the components of the game, Shainzel, thank you so much, so that you can encourage people who are dating to play this game. I understand it's recommended in every school, college, yeshiva. There are even gamats that they lend them out in. It's played by the gamut of religiosity in the Jewish community. You don't have to play every single question. The questions are divided up. I'll show you. It comes with a board where you date. You actually go on dates. It has a little red card, just like my little red card, where the boy and the girl, the man and the woman, go on dates in the car. I created a die, a special die, would you believe it, that only has 6 numbers on it so that they don't go too quickly. I don't want them to just rush through the dating. I want them to sit and ask questions. And just to show you how you can really ignite your creative genius if you look around the world and say, what does that remind me of? Or what can I do with that? So one Friday night, I was benching Lech, and I looked at my old-fashioned matchbox, which I still love to use, and I said, that's it. I know, this Perfect Matches is going to have a matchbox. You see what it looks like? It's a matchbox. It looks just like the matchbox I have by my candlesticks. And therefore, I had the manufacturer, he thought I was insane, create the cards for the game to fit into this matchbox. And there are 4 categories in the game. They start off slowly, asking general questions. Those are the icebreakers. And, you know, they ask just general kinds of questions. And then they move on to getting to know you. We know that song, and they're a little more serious questions. And then they progress in their dating relationship. They don't usually bring this on the first date. They bring it on like the second or third, so forth. And then they go to seriously. So, you know, Oh, this is my favorite one. I'm just looking at it. It says, please pay the other person a compliment. That is a secret. That card appears in every single category because I found that people don't know how to pay each other compliments. And that's a very big red flag in a relationship. I'm going to tell you more about it. There's also a smaller category right here of for previously married. So that if either of the parties have been previously married, they play the whole game, but then they also have special questions that apply only to them. This is a completely out of body experience. I look at this game sometimes and I say, this is amazing. Who made this? But you know what? I have to admit to you, I have a slit on the top of my head. And I feel sometimes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts suggestions in, like a suggestion box. And sometimes I can actually feel them coming in and it just ignites. And this is what is produced. I owe it all to the power above us. And I was just the vehicle to produce this in the world. And people tell me that I either made their shidduch or thank God I saved them from a potentially horrible situation. So either way, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I hope that people will play it for many, many years to come. I made sure there are no timely questions in it. I remember when we were making it, everybody said, ask them about 9/11. I said, no 9/11, there are going to be people born soon who are going to play this game and they don't know much about 9/11. So we're going to leave COVID out of it. And the questions just spark conversation. And then I leave it up to the dating couple. Or by the way, it's a great game to play on Friday night or a long Shabbos afternoon with your family, with your friends. You find things out about people that you would never expect. People play with their roommates, with their grandchildren. My grandchildren tell me, if I didn't play this game with you, Safta, I would never know these things about you. So I'm very grateful. Okay, so that was the dating phase. The next phase, of course, is they get engaged. And I hope they come to me for a bridal gown. We have a store in Cedarhurst, Long Island. It's called Bridal Secrets. We also have another alterations department where everybody can bring in their regular clothing to be fixed, to be altered. And we also love to, transform clothing. You can bring things in that need to be made sneastic. There are a lot of clothing nowadays that are completely unlined. So we have lining, we have fabric, we have trim, and we will transform your clothing. The bridal gowns, however, I recreate the gowns that I see through the designers, which are mainly strapless. And then we, of course, recreate them to be modest in all degrees of modesty. And those gowns can be either rented or purchased. So Shandel, I could not bring the store to you, of course. So I brought a little bit of the store. And I'm going to speak about that next. I have a bridal gown collection. It's actually a bridal doll collection. This, of course, as you will recognize, is Princess Diana. Believe it or not, most of the brides of yesteryear, we'll call them, of history, especially the princesses, are all modest. They have to be modest. So here we have her daughter-in-law, who she never met. And this is Kate Middleton, and this is her gown. And very often, the doll's gowns inspire the other gowns. I have Jackie Kennedy here too, but I think we're gonna skip her today. The gowns and the headpieces and the veils inspire the girls, and they point to them in the store, and they say, you know what, could I have a veil like this? And I say, absolutely, or a sleeve like that. You know, it's vintage and they love them and they learn a lot from them. And so I have a little mini museum of bride dolls. Very often people will bring their daughters or grandchildren to the store, to Bridal Secrets, just to see the bride dolls. And I love that. I give them a little tour. And then I told you about the other department that we have. It's called Nip and Tuck Alterations. And I want to show you a little bit of some of the things that we do. So I'm going to hold up some pictures close. I need some mannequins. I dressed some mannequins for the windows. We now have them also inside the store. And this is one of them. I created this out of sewing notions. So I'm going to show, hold it up, and I'm going to tell you what it's made from. So you see that her hair is made out of tape measures. Her necklace is spools of thread. Her belt is made out of horsehair. She has little frames as bracelets, and she has thimbles on her nails. She has a thimble manicure, buttons. She has a watch with straight pins on her wrist. Her entire skirt is made out of tape measures. She has zippers on her legs. She has pencils at the heels of her shoes. She's terrific. I love to look at her. And here she is in the window again, next to a bride. And there she is. You got a better look at her. There are her pencil heels. Let me do this quickly. Here's her back. Can you see Central Avenue over there? And there she is. And then I dressed another mannequin, a dressmaker's mannequin, in the store. And here I was inspired by a store, a sewing store in Israel, that I noticed that they did something with buttons that was very creative in the window. And I took a picture. Everybody walks around with an iPhone now. You can take pictures all day long and then come home and execute them. And so I made this mannequin, and her bodice is covered with buttons, you see? And she, of course, has a scarf made out of tape measures, and she has a skirt made out of tulle. And she stands in the store, and she's lovely to look at. Okay, so let's see now. I'm looking at our chart. We did Bridal Secrets, we did Nip and Tuck, and now the couple gets married and they go to the chuppah. And under the chuppah, the chassan steps on the glass, and then I take over. They save me the glass, or they go to my Etsy shop. It's called Step On It Chuppah Glass Art. And I create a piece of art from the broken chuppah glass or the broken plate at the Tanayim. I must tell you that sometimes we fake it, and I'll tell you how. So here, for instance, is a sample. This one I did in English. Of course, it says Mazel Tov. And it is actually a recreation of the couple's chuppah. I asked them for a picture of their chuppah, and it's personalized with their names and their date. And this one you can see on the Etsy shop, which is Handmade Gifts. And that one was done with a chuppah theme. There's also a Yerushalayim theme. So here you have several psukim to choose from. There's a scene of Yerushalayim. There's their names, again, personalized. And if they all come framed, you can, many, many choices you can get. Here's a third sample. This is done out of pottery. So this is a broken plate. And I very often give this as a gift. It's a beautiful housewarming gift. You can just, you know, every time you break a plate from now on, you can save the plate and send it to me, and I'll make you a gift. It's again, from either the Tanayim plate. We had a very funny incident in the family where I had given the couple a colored glass in a special velvet bag to break under the chuppah, and they left it home. And their mother also bought them a a beautiful glass to break on the chuppah, they left that one home. So they got to the hall, and the caterer, of course, had a glass prepared for under the chuppah, and he broke the glass. Everyone yelled mazel tov, and sure enough, somebody kicked it off the stage, and it was thrown away. And the next day, I called, and I said, okay, give me the glass. And they said, we don't have it. We don't have your glass. We don't have our glass. We don't have the caterer's glass. What are we going to do? So I'll tell you what we did. And those of you who were there, remember, I took a veil from my store. I got in the car. I went to my niece's house. We all assembled in the kitchen. The kallah put the veil on again. The chassan stood next to her in the kitchen. We put a new glass under his foot. He stepped on the foot. We all yelled mazel tov. And I took the glass home and I made them a picture. So you know what? You can do whatever you want. You could be married for 50 years, break a new glass, send it to me, and I'll make you a gift. That was fun. Okay, we are up to the home. Everybody was born. They had a bris, or they were named, and they had a bar and bat mitzvah. They dated, they got married, they had a chuppah, and now they are in the home. So we're going to show you some of the things that are in my home. I like to collect. So I'm going to show you many different collections. You already saw part of my bridal doll collection. You're now going to see my paper cut collection, which is right behind me. I'm gonna move the camera a little bit. And these are many of the, not all of them, but many of the paper cuts that I have on my wall. Some of them I commissioned, some of them I purchased. This one right behind me is a very famous one that many of you may have. It's the Circle of Yerushalayim with all of the architecture and the buildings. But I wanted to do something different. I love doing things different. I framed this, the background is mirror. So that's why you can see some of this happening. You see my hand right now. And the reason I put mirror behind it is because when you look at it and you stand in front of it, you are in Yerushalayim. And I love that. You're right there. I know people who have it on beautiful paper, but I framed it on mirror. So if you have something like that, that you have at home, use mirror and it changes the whole look of the picture. There are classes being given now in paper cutting. I pursued them for many years. I found somebody else who does them, but she's making aliyah, so there goes that. But I just got an email the other day that one of the shuls in town is giving a paper cutting class before Shavuos, because it seems to be some kind of a minhag, which I'm going to find out about, that people made paper cuts before Shavuos. So I'm about to take, as I told you, I'm a perpetual student, and I'm going to join the class and make a paper cut. So now I'm going to show you some of the other things that have been handed down and some of the collections for the home. So many, many years ago, I think I was a teenager, I loved to crochet. And besides crocheting yarmulkes, I decided I'm going to make a tablecloth. So it never became a tablecloth. It became a very large doily. And here it is. I use it to put many of the photographs in my house on. And my mother took a look at it and she said to me, you know, that looks very, very familiar. She said, look at this. I have this put away in tissue paper. My mother made it in Europe and it was the centerpiece of a bedspread. And she pulled it out. I now use it under my laughter. And here it is. Look at that. And she said to me, this is amazing. This is what I was telling you before. She said, these two look like the same person made them. Mm-hmm. And this is my grandmother who I never met. And it gave her so much nachas and it thrilled me. So, I took my crocheting skills and I decided to have a little fun. So I don't know if you know, but I'm also a trained medical clown and I like to have a lot of fun. And I like to laugh with people. I don't know if I make them laugh, but I like to laugh with people. So I said one day, I'm going to do something insane. I learned how to make plarn. I don't know if you know that. But PLARN stands for plastic yarn. So I always crochet with either chutz, thread, yarn, whatever, depending on what you're making. I rather touch the fabric than knit. A lot of people knit. You can do this with knitting too. So I took gourmet glot bags. I love gourmet glot bags. They're bright yellow. Sometimes you're walking in the street anywhere in the world and you see someone approaching you with a bright yellow bag. You know that they live somewhere that there's a gourmet glot bag store. Okay, ready? I made a shopping bag, a pocketbook out of gourmet glot bags. Okay, I'm gonna hold it up really close. Okay, here it is. It was crocheted from PLARN. And you see, I even put on the button. See the button? The VOD of the Five Towns. So I then, you know, I got creative and I decided I'm gonna make headbands and belts and wallets and all kinds of things. I was going to make this a project, project for tzedakah. We give 10% of the profits of Bridal Secrets to the Be'er Miriam Hachnasas Kala Fund. We send the money away, and the Be'er Miriam Fund helps someone anonymously make a wedding. And we've been doing that going on in Mir Hashem 20 years. So we've helped them make dozens and dozens of weddings, and we hope to continue to do so for many years to come. Now the plastic bag world has changed. So I had been collecting plastic bags to make this project. I'm now giving them away to people because I feel bad that everybody has to pay for plastic bags. But you know, if anybody wants to join me in this project, maybe we'll start again. Maybe we'll sit down, crochet or knit, or just cut PLARN if you don't have the skills. We'll join together and we'll make money for tzedakah or Hachmasas Kala. That would be wonderful. So continuing with my collections, I'm going to show you, this is again, people without artistic skills, but you know, have a yen for collecting or for looking at beautiful objects, for you know, going to museums and seeing different types of collections. I have a dreidel collection. Okay, this, I'm gonna try to hold it up and you can see every sort of dreidel. I always, different sizes, different, you know, media. I've collected them from all over the world. And of course we always put them on the table on Hanukkah. And that's the only time I let people use them and play with them. And some of them have shins and some of them have pays. And this year I wrote a scavenger hunt for Hanukkah because we couldn't get together. Remember COVID, we were all on Zoom. So we did a Zoom family scavenger hunt for Hanukkah. And one of the questions was, how many dreidels does Savta have with shins and how many with pays? And everybody had a guess. And of course, you know, we had a long list of scavenger hunt activities and somebody won. And they got a prize and it was so much fun. Here's another collection that I've done over the years. Whoops. It's miniature silver fruit. And you see here are strawberries and walnuts and bananas and pears. And they're displayed behind glass in cabinets. Here's a pineapple, which is part of the collection. And then I have also in the miniature collection, several different pianos made out of different materials. And that's another fun collection to look at. Here's another collection. This is a miniature egg collection. So we have different types of eggs made out of many different materials, marble. Some of them are eggs within eggs. And it's a really nice collection to look at. You can find eggs, colored eggs, all over the world. And they do come from all over the world. Next, we're going back in the home and we're going to show you a challah cover. So I had a son who had a significant birthday And I asked him if he wanted an atara or whatever I would make for him. A towels bag? No. I said to his wife, what do you want? She said, how about a challah cover? And she chose the colors of the fabric. And this, again, whoops, this is a picture of the challah cover. So we're going to go very close so you can see the trimming and the detail of the challah cover. It has beading on it. It's very beautiful. Because it's needlepoint, it has to be covered with plastic on Shabbos. Here are some more special needlepoint projects that you can make easily to give people. Here is a bookmark that I give. I love to read. And this I made for my sister, Sandra. I see you over there. And this is her bookmark, Sandra's Place. Here's another good project to make people as gifts, a glasses case. I love to read and I have a problem. So when I do needlepoints or when I do any kind of crafts, I can't read. So I've now started to listen to books and listen to podcasts. And that's what I do while I'm crocheting or needlepointing or painting or doing other crafts. And that is a great way to solve that problem. And that's what Shabbos is for. Let's read on Shabbos. I think that we're going to stop now. I think it's getting late. And perhaps some of you have questions. And I would love to entertain them. But I hope I inspired you. That's what all this was for. And I would love to hear from you. Tell me about your projects. Tell me if you thought of something new. I'd love to share. And now back to you, Judy.
Joy, thank you so much. I was actually looking around right now. You see my virtual background, but in my actual office are pictures from my mother, work that my mother-in-law did. So, I mean, we have beautiful memories and I'm sure every family has it. You just want to make sure that when a person, after they've passed, you want to make sure that all of these treasures stay in your family. That, correct, I think, is one of the most important things we need to learn to continue all of the cycles and keep all of these very, very special things. A couple of things have come up, Joy. So first of all, you mentioned paper cutting being done in shuls. I know, actually, I just got a thing. I think my shul, Young Israel of Queens Valley, is doing something. Perhaps, what shul did you mention?
It's going to be Shari Tzvila in Lawrence.
So, okay, so two different shuls. Perhaps there are other shuls, you know, there are people that watch this program literally from all over the world. So if your shul hasn't set it up, this could be something that people could think of doing. I'm sure there are experts in your area. So anyway, so that's because somebody had asked about paper cutting. A couple questions came in about the plarn. Can you give us the instructions for how to make it and then we'll get that out to people?
That's what Google is for. Just Google.
Oh, so people can just Google it.
Yes, P-L-A-R-N. Plarn.
Okay, so everybody who's gotten onto this program certainly has been has the skill to get onto Zoom. So go to Google, our favorite encyclopedia, and just Google that, and you say the instructions are there, and it's fairly simple.
Yes, very simple. Okay. And you knit or you crochet.
Oh, okay. And the other thing I wanted to mention, a couple of people have asked, and we will be giving Joy's information for people that would like to go further with gifts on for chuppah glass and all that. So a few questions came in. Joy, thank you so much. I think you've inspired everybody. It doesn't matter how talented you are. Everybody can put some glass together. Either they'll have you do it or they could probably do it themselves as well, you know? So there's lots of things that we can all do. And this is how we go from generation to generation. Somebody is reminding me, and yes, I was part of it. There was and I'm sure it's probably online, the OU Nachyomi through the Women's Initiative actually a number of months ago did a program on paper cutting. So people can go back. I'm sure that it's in the archives there.
Great.
And somebody wants to know, what do you do with horse hair these days?
With horse hair?
Yeah.
It's incredible what we do with horse hair. It used to be a backing for fabric. And now it's used as a trim a fashion trim. So you can do anything you want with horsehair, anything. And contact me and I will give you tips. People call me all day long. Can I wear this? Can you do anything with this? You know, contact me and I'll tell you. Okay.
So everybody knows that you'll be, with God's help, you'll be getting the recording later today. So if you didn't take notes, you can watch it again. For those who didn't see it at all. And with that, we will put within the email, Joy's contact info so that you'll be able to reach her. Thank you so much, Joy. This was wonderful. Thank you everybody for joining us. With God's help, we look forward to seeing you on Thursday again. We have Jenna Belzer, who is the founding director of the OU's Accelerator, which is an exciting program that we promote various nonprofits throughout the country. In fact, people in spirit had the opportunity to listen to two programs from the Accelerator in the past year. Rotora and Nechama Comfort came from the Accelerator. So Jenna's going to tell us all about it. And it might be that some of our viewers might even want to become mentors in the Accelerator. So watch for your emails because you'll get the information for registration there. Thank you again, everybody, for joining us. Joy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Terrific. Have a great
day. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Be safe, be healthy.
Amen.